On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, Rooski Game of the Week saw the Rams take control of the NFC West. Sam Darnold throws four interceptions. The Eagles defense does it again, basically gets the win for the Eagles team themselves, shutting down the Lions at home 16-9. Bills win a shootout against the Bucks 44-32. Josh Allen getting six touchdowns, and Broncos with the win against the Chiefs 22-19. All that and more. This is Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 8018 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. He's Justin Tucker. We had Adam right here in the first 5 seconds of the show.
We lost him.
And now he's back in the studio. But he's on, usually the producer, he's on the show with us today. And now he's back.
Buddy.
How are you doing?
Good. Just wondering why you left so abruptly. That's all.
Yeah, I'm having connections.
Yeah, I definitely see it right now. But we're going to head into Rooski Game of the Week. Yeah, we can hear you. But
yeah, we can hear you.
You can definitely tell the connection's a little off.
Cool.
All right. Rooski Game of the Week.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Rooski Game of the Week, Rams and Seahawks. This was a game that saw no sacks in this one, but the Rams gutted it out at the end. And really the difference here was Sam Darnold throwing four interceptions. Saw a bad Sam Darnold game. Saw a bad one. And unfortunately, you know, this is, we'll call the third big game that he's had since joining the Vikings last season. Third bad game in a big game that he's had. So, not good for that. Matt Stafford had an all right day, two touchdowns, 130 yards. This was a bit of a weird one. Kyron Williams, 91 yards and a touchdown. It was a game where the Seahawks had possession majority of the time. But, it was the four interceptions that Sam Darnold had that was the main difference. We'll go around the table here. CJ, your thoughts on this one? Rams taking control of the NFC West now with the tiebreaker against the Seahawks. What do you make of the scenario that we have at hand here?
Well. It looks like Sam Darnold once again is seeing ghosts. This is so eerily similar to what happens with the Vikings, especially at the end of the season, you know, where he's playing his heart out, they're going balls to the wall, and then when they need him most, he completely collapses, be it in that final game against the Lions or be it in the playoffs. This time it came a little early. I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't understand. Don't get me wrong. Despite the fact he had four picks, they were still in the game. He was still getting the ball to JSN, was he not? I mean, he's still, you know, he was still, like, solid enough. And you saw how their linebacker, Ernest Jones, basically said, oh, if you think he's the problem, well, F you. Sorry, Ernest Jones. I just think throwing four interceptions is a bit of a problem. F you too, you journeyman linebacker. So overall, this is a Darnold thing. He plays better. I do think they win. They kept it close. I mean, Chris, you said it yourself that they gutted it out. So, you know. But yeah, this does. I won't put them on fraud watch right now, but I do think that I'm less confident in them, I'll just say.
Yeah. In the beginning of the game, they had a huge chance to capitalize as well. Rams turned it over on downs on their first drive, and then first possession, three plays in for Sam Darnold, he throws an interception. So that would have been that could have been a big difference right there. Tuck, your thoughts?
I thought solid overall game for the Rams. Had to gut it out, but thankfully they were able to win. The Seahawks still had a chance, but that 60-plus yard field goal had no shot of being made. I thought Sam Darnold played his worst game outside of that Monday night game against the Patriots in 2019. I think this was by far his worst game. Four interceptions. JSN once again proving he's a top five wide receiver, but they had their chances. If they didn't have as many turnovers as they did, I think they're the ones that got this out, but turnovers were a killer. The Rams did just enough to scrape by. Matthew Stafford was good enough. I wouldn't say he was like good or great. I think he was good enough to get this win. And the Rams once again move on to 8-2 or 9-2? 8-2. And atop of their division.
Adam.
Yeah, listen, Sam Darnold has had to play in – there are three games that I look at in the last calendar year that I say, oof, when it comes to Sam Darnold. Week 18 against Detroit, got blown out, and Darnold looked terrible. The following week, wild card weekend against the Rams, looked terrible as well. One and done despite a 14-win season. Now we're looking at this game. Another game that you must win. A big game for the division. Four interceptions. I'm seeing a pattern here. And this isn't just Peyton Manning being a choker in the playoffs, because this is also happening in the regular season as well. At least Peyton Manning won some big regular season games. And yeah, he did win some Super Bowls. But with Sam Darnold, it's just, he has fraud written all over him. And I respect the amount of improvement that we've seen from him the past couple of years. It's clear that with a good situation, you can win with him. You can't win because of him. And he can also be a detriment in big games. Like, it's amazing how he falls off a cliff with some of the best weapons you've ever seen. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Rashid Shaheed now, Cooper Kupp, all of these players you have at your disposal, and a really good offensive line, good coaching. Everything works for you. And you still suck? There's something wrong there. I can't take Sam Darnold seriously until he wins a big playoff game. Or just wins a big regular season game for that matter.
Honestly, Adam, I know we had this big debate last night about it. And, you know, I'll agree with you in the sense, you know, it's there. It is there. I will say that. And I'll also say that they have won games because of him. But when you look at those games, they're games against teams that they should be winning. Like, I'll even look at the schedule here. The Buccaneers, team over 500, lost by 3. And Sam Darnold had a really good game in that game. And it came down to an unlucky pick. 49ers, week 1. They lose in a weird one, 17-13. And then obviously Sunday, they lose by 2 against the Rams, where he puts up 4 interceptions.
Yeah, and look, I will acknowledge half of winning in football is stacking wins against teams you should be beating, like bad teams. But the other half is still beating the good teams in the regular season, and you also have to win in the postseason. He's done neither of those things. So he's really only halfway there, which is, it's better than where he was with the Jets and the Panthers, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And again, I can respect the fact that he's winning games against teams that he should be beating, but you still need to go the rest of the way in order to earn the full respect of the rest of the league. Cause it's such a glaring issue here, and we're seeing it time and time again.
For sure. Just a quick look at the playoff look right now in terms of – actually, we'll take a look at it when we get done, talk about Eagles-Lions. Do we have anything we want to touch on from this game?
Not really anything else.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to step aside when we come back. Sunday Night Football, Eagles Another weird one offensively, but the defense shows out yet again. This is the Fumbleroski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Back here for the Fumbleroski Podcast, Adam Wright, Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros. Sunday Night Football, Eagles defense mucking up the Lions offense 16-9. Another weird game that the Eagles are in, of course. Last week, Monday Night Football, they only put up 10 points or whatever it was against the Packers. A game that I kind of wished would have just been a 0-0 tie. But in this case, this was, I would honestly say, more of an entertaining game. But, you know, this was, like I said, dominated by the Eagles defense. Jared Goff and the Lions offense did not look very good. Outdoors, in the cold, bad weather. And, like, to be honest, Detroit doesn't actually do that bad, especially when they go up against, like, the Packers and the Bears the last few seasons in the cold. So this was definitely an odd one, but, you know, they're feeling the effects of Lincoln Financial last night. In terms of some of the performance, I mean, all right. I don't know. I just don't know what to make of Jalen Hurts anymore. I just don't. Like, every time I want to say he's a bad quarterback, I have to be like, well, he's also a Super Bowl MVP. But then I also see him make some of these throws, and it's like, I don't know what to make of anything anymore. Like, this offense should be good, but it just isn't. It's in, like, the weirdest of lulls every single time. Also, of course, final drive of the game, AJ Brown gets away with a push off. Bullshit. This is why NFL fans get mad with referees. It's inconsistency. It's terrible. Makes me want to gouge my eyes out. Stephon Diggs was called for much less. It's just terrible. Let's go reverse around the table, Adam. You know,
this is more.
You can respond to Jalen Hurts. You can respond to anything I said. You can go off on your own thing. What do you make of this ball game?
Yeah, look, I think the Eagles are a very sustainable force when it comes to winning games. It may not look pretty this season, but they're winning games. They win based off defense, a good offensive line, a run game that takes up all of the time, as far as time of possession goes. My biggest takeaway was actually on the Lions. They went for it on fourth down 5 times. And there needs to be a point where there needs to be a t-shirt that is made where it just says straight up, take the points. Take the freaking points. They'd be in the Super Bowl right now. They'd have been in the Super Bowl in 2023. It's unbelievable how it just keeps on coming out the exact same way. I like a little aggression, but Dan Campbell goes way, way over the top. Just take the points, especially against a good Eagles team like this. You need all of the points that you can get, especially in low-scoring rock fights like this. Good God. That's all. That's my takeaway. The Lions, they still haven't learned their lesson. I fear that they never will before their Super Bowl window officially closes.
I want to respond to that, actually. I think a big reason why they're going for it so many times, I don't know if you saw pregame or the video pregame, it was a windy, windy day last night. It was a very windy night. So, and they were showing pregame of the kickers kicking like for the long field goals and whatnot. And everything, like Tuck just made the motion. Everything was veering. It was taking a hard right, a hard left. Like,
you still got to do it. You just have to take the points. I know.
How can you take the points when it's so unguaranteed, though, that you're even going to get, when your better chance at that point with the weather is going for it on fourth down? And some of these are like, some of these as well, the first few were right at midfield. So you're punting it away. Obviously, you're looking for field position. And yeah, you're better off just going for it on fourth down at that point. I will agree that, yeah, in any other case, you should be kicking a field goal. But I think when you have weather in play, you got to take your chances at that.
I don't give Dan Campbell the benefit of the doubt at this point. This has been a trend for his entire coaching career here in Detroit. He continues to do it. He keeps doing it. And I understand it's windy, but I still think you have to go for it there. Just take the field goal. It's take the points.
Tuck.
I guess congratulations to the Eagles for getting the job done, unconvincingly as it was. Just, I think that's first and foremost. As far as the A.J. Brown pass interference stuff is, I'm like, look, Rockerson did not cause pass interference. That should not have been a first down. It shouldn't have been a flag, but again, I digress. All in all, Jared Goff couldn't get anything going all night. He had passes incompleted, passes batted at the line of scrimmage. Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter was basically having their way with that O-line that they have, and they just could not be stopped. Quinyon Mitchell had a good game. I think all in all, it was either Jahmyr Gibbs or nothing, and outside of that 42-yard run that he had, it was mostly nothing. The Eagles weren't giving them many things to deal with. I think the only other time where I saw like a huge chunk play was that third down completion to Jameson Williams for a first down. I can't remember how many yards, but outside of that, it was tough going for Detroit. And I don't think it's because they're playing out in the cold. They abused us in Baltimore, so I don't think it's like cold weather that's the issue. I think sometimes they'll have lapses like this. I think they're good enough to be major contenders, but sometimes they'll have games like this where it's like, ah. Like Jared Goff will have games like, eh. You wish it could be better, but you understand the circumstances. Do I wish they always didn't go for it on fourth down? Yes, but I give it a bit of a pass considering the weather conditions outside. I'm not gonna say Adam's wrong for feeling the way that he feels, but I'm not gonna say Dan Campbell's wrong for feeling like he should always go for it on fourth down based on the weather conditions. That's all.
CJ, your take, and then I'm gonna give you the scenarios of these fourth downs.
Dan Campbell, what an enigma, really. Just what a weird, weird guy. There's something to be said for having some guts, right? But you can't just be hyper aggressive every single play. Like, you can't. I more so side with Adam that he hasn't learned. That's the thing, right? We can talk about situational awareness. Chris, even last night, you said that field goal in that wind, in that weather, was going to be tough. I think both points have merit. I do. That field goal was going to be a bitch to make regardless.
It was a great field goal to make, too.
Banged in the cold, like, that was going to be a toughie, but we all knew that. But for me, it's less about that and more about the fact that Campbell refuses to learn. And I love Dan Campbell, love a good rah-rah coach, guy can get up in your face, and demand everything from you, but still pick you up when you're down. But he's kind of becoming a bit of a hammerhead. That's something that I view him as. He's a hammerhead. Forget situational awareness. He doesn't learn. That's what it comes away from. So I think there was no right way to go about this. I personally am leaning towards field goal because, if you miss it, at least you could say, hey, we try, but a fourth down, that just looks so much worse. It's about optics. And then, of course, you have to leave the game in the hands of the refs. And we all know that's one of the cardinal sins of sports. You can't do that. And that's how you get hit with, I heard a term, a ticky-tack PI call. no, that wasn't a weak call. That wasn't a ticky-tack. That wasn't a could go either way. That was a phantom call. That was not PI. It's like, oh, but there was hand fighting. One, yes, there was. It was going both ways. Two, Jalen Hurts sail back pass. The ball wasn't catchable. Rule book says clear as day, when the ball's not catchable, that's not PI. But it doesn't matter because you can't leave the game in the hands of the refs. All in all, this was, I don't care it was a rock fight. This was a winnable game, and you could argue Philly win. I'd argue the Lions lost. And Lions, I'm sorry. Campbell, I love you. Amon-Ra, I love you. Hutchinson, I love you. Your ass is on fraud watch. You're third in your division right now. That's inexcusable.
Yeah. They're out of the playoffs, I'm pretty sure, right now, too.
I'll take Gannert the playoff picture. Chris and Adam, you go back and forth.
Yeah. So let me list off these fourth down, these turnover on downs for you. First one was 13:07 in the second. Fourth and one from the Detroit 48. It was Jahmyr Gibbs.
They'd be eighth right now.
Huh?
They'd be eighth right now. Just look
at it. They are.
Okay. So right on the outside. So this play followed a third and one where Gibbs ran to the right side, also got stuffed. And I remember this play very vividly. They were trying to go no huddle, and they ended up taking too long to snap the ball. It was a shit show. So that was a bad one. Next one was on their next drive, fourth and two from the Detroit 43. That was their fake punt. That was when they did a fake punt. Third quarter, first drive, fourth and five from the Philly 32. And this was an incomplete pass to Jameson Williams. You could argue, you know, you're in range where maybe the wind isn't going to take much of effect. That's a 47 yarder. I can give you that one. I can give you that one, Adam. Next one, fourth and goal from the three. I'm going for it on that too.
I'm forgetting. Did any of those time, because at that point you're giving them fail. If it's that deep, if it's around the 40 so yard line around that area in the 40s, you're giving the other team good field position. I'm forgetting. Did one of those result in points for the other, for the Eagles?
The one that was a fake punt resulted in a field goal.
Yeah. So that's another problem. If you go for it around that area, you are running the risk, especially if it's a fake punt, that those are hard to convert around that area. If you give them favorable position, this is a rock fight. Any points are going to help, and any sort of field position also helps. I'm also looking at, I completely forgot about the play calling that they made, but one of them, they called a pass play on a fourth and three. I'm sorry, on a short play like that, you need to run it. You need to
pull some not all sort the time.
Of running play.
No, not on all
short
the time.
Ones, you need to run.
Fourth and three, you can fuck around with a short pass.
You have Jahmyr Gibbs back there. Run the ball.
On fourth and three?
Yeah.
That's more of a David Montgomery.
I don't know. Fourth and three is a lot longer than you think, Adam.
It depends on the type of personnel you got. I could see them passing on fourth and three.
With a quick out
with Amon-Ra St. Brown, I can see that because they did that to us in Baltimore. I can see
You could hit a tight end in the fly. You could probably hit Gibbs out of the backfield too. But if it was fourth and one, I'd say, yeah, fourth and three goes up in the air for me at least.
Yeah, fourth and three, fourth and four is when we're in passing territory, I feel like.
Yeah, look, I'm at the point where I just don't trust Dan Campbell with these fourth down plays. I think he just gets way too aggressive. I think the dude's jacked up on his caffeine on what he gets what 1,200 milligrams of caffeine before breakfast. Dude, I don't trust you with that. I just don't. He's like, we're just gonna throw this motherfucker wherever we want it to go. I don't trust Dan Campbell with these. I just don't.
I'll go a step further with you, Adam. So he took over play calling duties last week against Washington just to like change things up. And obviously that was the week to do it if you wanted to do that. And they did so. Put up 40 against Washington. Was he calling the plays this week against Philly? I know Sirianni took over play calling duties for Philly, but was Campbell also doing it as well?
I would assume. Does anyone know?
I believe so. I can't tell you with 100% certainty.
Yeah.
I think we've done this topic to death, though. We should probably move on.
Okay, Adam. Okay. I agree, though. But anything else around the table real quick?
No, I'm good.
No, not really.
All right. Step aside for another quick break. Broncos Chiefs, AFC West. Boy, Broncos, well, seems that they are pulling ahead, to say the least. This is the Fumbleroski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumbleroski Podcast. Broncos got out a win against the Chiefs 22-19. Bo Nix is another one where it's like, I kind of put in the same feeling as Jalen Hurts, where it's like, boy, I want to say Bo Nix is a bad quarterback, but like, then he guts out these types of wins in the fourth, and he did it against Philly earlier this year too. Guts out these masterful fourth quarter performances, and it's like, I don't know what to think anymore. I just don't know what to think. He plays terribly against Vegas, and he puts up 300 and gets a huge win against the Chiefs. We'll get to the Chiefs in a moment, but boy, Broncos now the number one in the entirety of the AFC, along with the fact that the Chargers are falling apart. Lord knows what's going to happen with the Chiefs the rest of the season. This is the Broncos division to lose at this rate. They need to completely fall apart for this to happen. But, you know, some of us may think that it may come sooner than later. The falling apart, that is. Tuck, I'll start with you. What do you think of the Broncos so far? Are they about to fall apart, or is this team going to start to absolutely really explode and pull away with the division?
I don't think they'll explode, but I think they'll hands down win the division at this rate. I think the win against the Chiefs makes it easier for them to pull ahead and take that dominant like stance. This is our division this season. With that win, they're 9-2 and on top, not only the AFC West, but in the AFC entirety. So congrats to them. But my thing about the Broncos is, which team are they? Are they the team that they beat the Kansas City Chiefs like this? Or are they the team that looked abysmal against the Las Vegas Raiders? I don't know which team they are, and it confuses the hell out of me. In one point, they will look like a dominant team where we're like, okay, look at what they did against Dallas. This is what I expect from them. And then in another game against the Jets, they look god-awful on offense. I don't know what I'm getting from Bo Nix half the time. The perfect example is the game against the Giants. They are down 19-0 heading into the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden, the Broncos not only come back, they win the game, scoring all of their points in the fourth quarter. That is the typical Bo Nix experience. I don't know if I'm getting the franchise quarterback he is capable of being or the potential bust. I don't know what I am getting half the time, and that's what scares me with the Broncos. I'm not saying all of it his fault. He doesn't have a consistent running game because J.K. Dobbins can't stay healthy. That's just the fact of the matter. But outside of that, I look at this team and it's like, I see the potential in how they can make noise in the AFC particularly because everyone else in their division looks a mess right now, including the Chiefs. But they'll have moments where they're supposed to like be dominant and they just look, ugh. So I don't know how I feel about the Broncos. I think they're going to win the division. I think they could even make the AFC championship game. But outside of that, I'm not convinced they'll win the AFC. I still got the Colts. I still have the Patriots ahead of them as far as like overall teams. But it's like they could be there, but they'll have games like the Raiders. So it's like I think they're the third best team in the AFC right now.
CJ?
Yeah, Bo Nix is another one where he's hard to decipher. But in the grand calculus of quarterbacks, if you average it out, I wouldn't call him top five, not by a long shot. I'd say he's a solid tier two quarterback, where I'm not, at least this season, I'm not putting him in the upper echelon, you know, with guys like Matt Stafford, Josh Allen, Drake May, maybe not even Patrick Mahomes, who statistically is pretty good as well. But as for the team as a whole, good God, that defense is terrifying. You know, Jonathan Cooper, Nick Benito, Riley Moss, who could forget Reign Defensive Player of the Year, Patrick Surtain. Defense travels, and that is what I think the Broncos' key success is. Adam said this before the show. You ought to remember Denver Broncos.
I'll hit on it.
Huh?
I'll hit on it.
Yeah, cool, except I'm talking right now. But yeah, long story short, Broncos won a Super Bowl with the defense, you may remember. But yeah, I'll let you expand on it. And this is weird for me. I mean, I understand, but on the other hand, Bo Nix is just wildly inconsistent. It'd be one thing if he was just like a tier two quarterback and just stayed there. But I've said this before, the Broncos seem to be medically incapable of playing an entire football game. They'll just be flat, then they'll be really good. Or, you know, like I said, you on a good day, you're getting a half from them. Bad day, you're getting a quarter. And even if they're grinding out wins, is that sustainable? What's going to happen in the playoffs? Because you got to remember, the Denver defense was an elite unit last year. And Buffalo bent them over and spanked them on live TV. I mean, granted, I think they're better than that, but still, the regular season's one thing. How many regular season juggernauts have we seen get bounced in the wild card round? We've seen that a lot. But right now, look, they're still first in the division. Denver's a horrific place to play for an opposing team. I mean, hell, just ask Kansas City. So it's one of those things where I've said this in past weeks, and I'll have to say it again, they're real until they're not. And as for Kansas City, forget what we said about Detroit, how they're on the outside looking in. Chiefs aren't eighth. They're ninth. The Texans are above them because I think they have a better divisional record. The Chiefs don't even have tiebreaker with the Jags, who are a game better. The Chargers, even though they're actively falling apart due to injuries, they're still 7-4. Buffalo beat them. The Steelers are still better. You know, the Colts are up there. And then, you know, Broncos, New England. So for Kansas City, when we look at the odds, right, this is what I'll end on. They went from like a 78% chance to make the playoffs to a 51%. They're essentially a coin flip. I lean more so that they'll get in. You know, you can never count out. It's Mahomes kind of like Brady, you know, where you can never like count it out. You know, count on a late season rally, but this looks bad. Kansas City looks old. They have no running game. Their defense is sluggish. Yeah, just I am no longer confident in the Chiefs. And the fact that going into this week they were Super Bowl favorites is asinine. You cannot treat them that way anymore. You want to be Super Bowl favorites, you got to earn it. They have not earned it this season.
The statistic that I actually saw was that they have a 30% chance to make the playoffs. And now they only have a 1% chance to win the division.
I for playoffs, I'm looking at NFL Network, dude. NFL.
I'm looking at playoffstatus.com.
I mean, they'll probably make it, but
yeah.
Adam.
All right. I've seen a lot of fans of AFC teams hate watching the Chiefs, saying, "I want the Chiefs to lose. We need them out of the playoffs. This is going to be fun to watch the Chiefs suck." And I'll admit, I had a lot of fun watching them, watching Patrick Mahomes struggle. His once great deep ball looks terrible now. A lot of it has to do with, you know, the targets that he has. He really doesn't have much. The best he has is an aging Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice, who I have my questions of whether or not he's a one or not. But let me gauge with you just the past Patriots dynasty and whether or not you should have the road to the Super Bowl go through Denver. The Patriots, from their dynasty, going back to 2001, because that's when Brady first started football games, the Patriots are 4-7 in Denver. and they had never won a playoff game in Denver before. Going back to the 80s, 0-4 in the postseason in Denver. And a lot, they did not have good quarterbacks for most of those games. You had Jake Plummer for one of them. Yes, you had the 55 touchdown Peyton Manning, but you also had the noodle arm Peyton Manning as well. So not good, but they won based off one of the, based off a really, really good home field advantage. As far as Denver goes, one of the best home field advantages in all of football, a good offensive line that kept the quarterback on his feet, and a quarterback who was just able to make the throws, only the throws that he was able to make when he absolutely needed to make them. And a coach who was able to really help them do that. What does Denver have right now? An elite defense, the best in the game right now, with a really good pass rush that happens to get to your quarterback, a really good offensive line, a seasoned head coach. On top of that, a quarterback who, yes, has his questions, but I'll tell you what I don't question about Bo Nix. That kid has balls. That kid knows how to play when it absolutely matters most. His best play comes when it matters most, which is scary. I do not want to play Denver. No one should be rooting for Denver to get that number one seed. Nobody. If you are rooting against the Chiefs because you're scared of them, you're rooting for the wrong thing. You're just rooting for the wrong thing. Nobody outside of Denver should be wanting Denver to have that number one seed. If you're a Patriots fan, you should be rooting for that bye. If you're the Colts, you should be doing the same thing. If you're the Bills, you want that as well. Nobody wants to go to Denver. I don't care if it's Bo Nix as the quarterback. I don't care if he's been inconsistent. Denver scares the living crap out of me. I don't want to face them in Denver. That is all.
Fair point. My counter is, you know, Denver also had all that in 2014, and they lost Andrew Luck and the Colts. So... Okay. Yeah. So
also, if you bring up 2015,
they didn't have an elite.
You also left out the fact New England was probably the most injured team of the four remaining. They were on to like RB4, down a tackle, down almost all their linebackers, like Gronk, Edelman, and Jones. I think Logan Ryan were all game time decisions. And also, come on, that was also one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen as well.
2005, the Broncos didn't win the Super Bowl either. 2015, that was one of the greatest defenses of all time. We've also seen other times where the greatest defenses of all time carry bad offenses, aka the 2000 Ravens, and they carried Trent Dilfer's ass to a Super Bowl victory. I mean, if
you
want to
consider this defense can't do it. I mean, they just wrecked Patrick Mahomes and company, and they also beat the Eagles.
Okay. And the Eagles are a very weird offense in their own right, and the Chiefs are in their downfall era.
No, I'm not questioning whether or not they can do it. They have the ability, but can they do it in the playoffs? Because that is different. I'm sorry. It's literally different. We saw what happened to roughly the exact same team last season. And yeah, I know they weren't in Denver, but even if they were, I don't think the outcome would have been different.
I think the outcome would have been very different. Denver's a very hard place to play.
Do they beat the Bills if they are playing in Denver? Yes or no?
Yes.
Kill yourself.
No, you don't believe that. You don't believe
they have a rookie. They have a rookie quarterback, but I would not. It would have been a lot closer. They had a rookie quarterback at the time. Now he's not a rookie.
Just seven. Like, no, I'm sorry. You're chatting just to chat at this point, buddy. I love you to death. And I take back the comment I said out of shock, but oh my God, dude. No, they do not win that if it's in Denver. This season, if they went up against Buffalo and Denver, I would lean towards Denver. Yeah, but like, I don't know, man. The playoffs are different. That's just my stance. Peyton Manning had playoff experience. That was still Peyton Manning. Bo Nix is still too green.
Bo Nix, I would take over that 2015 Peyton Manning right now.
Okay, cool.
Bo Nix is
everything except experience, and experience is what's going to do it, man. Like, that's just my stance. It's like, I don't know. I got to believe when I see it, the playoffs are an entirely different animal.
Yeah, look, Bo Nix, I would take over that 2015 Peyton Manning. It's extremely hard to win in this league when you can't throw the football. And Bo Nix can throw the ball. Peyton Manning could not at that time. And they still won the Super Bowl somehow. They had an elite defense back then. A very good defense. But so does this Denver team. And if they have home field advantage on top of it, they also have a coaching advantage. I'll take Sean Payton over, what was it, Gary Kubiak at the time?
No, it was John Fox.
Nope.
I think.
Gary Kubiak. John Fox was fired.
Was it Kubiak?
It was Kubiak.
Wow. I forgot you got a ring on that team.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. Listen, I would definitely say that 2015 Broncos had a better defense, but I would also say everywhere else, this Broncos team has the advantage, except I guess running back, but let's see with RJ Harvey.
Hold on. Respectfully, they do not have better wide receivers.
They don't have better wide receivers.
No, I am taking Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders over Cortland Sutton, Pat Bryan, and Troy Franklin every day of the week.
Yeah, but you have to get the ball to them. So I guess I'm talking about the passing game in general.
It worked.
Oh, Owen Daniels was giving New England and Carolina fits too. I'd take them over.
Who even Julius Thomas as well? Can't forget about that
team in 2015.
Julius Thomas.
Oh, was he?
In 2015,
oh, dude. Damn. He was still good in 2013.
Yeah. Portland State legend, by the way. We got to put some respect on his name. but I'm just saying. I mean, once again, I guess we'll know come the playoffs.
Saying is Denver scares me to death. Out of all the teams that you want to travel to, I'd travel. I guess what it comes down to is like compare the home field advantages for all the teams. You wouldn't want to go to Gillette, sure. But also, would you go to Indianapolis? I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it.
If, let's say, the Patriots or the Bills or the Chargers had to go into Indy, that's easy. It's in a dome. It's about as neutral ground as it gets. And they have to pump crowd noise, if you remember that. Buffalo's a tough home field advantage. I'll say that. Arrowhead's a tough one, but you're not going to have to go there. Would you rather? That's a different question to ask. Would you rather host Kansas City or go to Denver? I'd rather host Kansas City.
Yeah.
At this point, I that team.
I mean, team I would just. Wrong. I mean, not this. I guess, well, Adam, at that point, I would rather any home playoff game. Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you also don't want to travel to Denver.
I wouldn't want to travel to Arrowhead.
I guess my problem, Adam, is that you're relying too much on history to have your point be proven in this case, where like you brought up the dynasty and it's like half of those teams weren't even considered the greatest defenses of all time. Like that 05 team then lost to the Steelers at home in the AFC Championship.
Which says more about the home field advantage, though. That you hosted the 2005 Patriots coming off back-to-back Super Bowl victories, and you beat them with Jake Plummer.
Great, and then you lost the next week, so it really doesn't matter.
I don't want to. Exactly, it's the snake pit. It's the place where great playoff teams go to die. I mean, that 2015 Patriots team. I don't think they should have lost, and they still did it.
I don't know. I think you're just relying too much on history where it's happened so few times.
Four and seven.
I'm not disputing the fact that the Pats record is what it is, but when you also look at the other teams that have gone in and gotten it done, like it kind of counteracts it. Anyways, let's move on because we still have a few more topics. That's fine. That's fine if you take Bo Nix over half the quarterbacks in the league. That's fine. All right. Bills-Bucks shootout. Bills get the win. That's coming up next.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Bills get the win against the Bucs, 44-32. Josh Allen, 6 touchdowns in this game. And, well, this was the prototypical Josh Allen. This was as much of a Josh Allen game as you could ever. Like, if I were to show my kids what was Josh Allen like, I would probably show them this game because it had everything. 3 touchdown passes, 3 rushing touchdowns. You also have 2 bad picks where one of them, you throw a 2-handed chest pass from your own end zone. Somehow that only ended up in 3 points for the Bucs. But Josh Allen was insane. But obviously, well, CJ was talking this before we started this episode, was that didn't pass the eye test. I want to know more about that in a sec, CJ. But looking at some of the other cool storylines, Sean Tucker, 19 carries, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. On the ground, had a receiving touchdown as well. There's your waiver wire pickup of the week. But in general, this is another game where, you know, you think you have 2 Super Bowl contenders. And by the way, the Pats held both of these teams respectively 23 points and 20 points to the Bills and Buccaneers respectively. Just want to make that point. And they led up 30 plus to each other. Anyways, Bills run defense was gashed. The Bucs, they look like they're in trouble. Panthers are on their tail. What do we make of this, fellas? CJ, let's start with you. Let's start with you, Mr. Let's not pass the eye test.
He didn't. I'm sorry, he didn't. You know, Adam, look, I know you're going to skewer me, but I don't care. I literally don't care. You're just going to be like, actually. But, yeah, well, whatever. I'm just saying, like, so many errant. Huh? Okay, cool. 2 interceptions probably should have been 4. All right? I'm just saying, like, oh, yeah. You see, to the untutored eye of the ignorant, mouth-breathing layman, you would say, oh, 6 touchdowns. But I'm sorry. So many errant throws. 2 interceptions. He single-handedly kept the Bucs in that game. Then again, the Bucs self-destructed. That didn't help them. Their defense was, especially their run defense, was gashed repeatedly. Their running game was silenced. And on top of that, oh, 6 touchdowns. Yeah, such a big man running from the 5-yard line. Ooh, it's not like these were just bombs that were going all over the field. It's not sustainable. We've already seen what Buffalo is. And no, it was a good game. Like, don't get me wrong. 6 touchdowns is still impressive. I'm just like, okay. No, like, no. That's actually really good. I'm watching the game and it's the eye test. That's really all it is. If you're going to say it's different, that's fine. But if you want to counter me, I warn you, first, you have to understand that countering me would require me to care what you think. And I really don't. Allen got lucky. The Bills escaped that game. And I think they're good, but James Cook doing nothing. Their wide receiver core, once again, not looking good. Also, what the hell's going on with Keon Coleman? I was right about that. If you remember what I said about it during the pre-draft process.
You and me both. Yeah. You and me both.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did not like him. And also, that defense does not scare me anymore. That stout Buffalo unit, I don't know. But for the Bucs, jeez, man. Oh, my God. Like, yeah, I'm glad you got the running game going. Sean Tucker, you know, Syracuse legend Sean Tucker. That's great, but
hell yeah.
Honestly, I think you should all agree. The injuries are really starting to catch up with Tampa. They really are, especially on offense. You know, they're learning, oh, you can just double Igbuka every play. And, you know, Sterling Shepard's, you know, he'll do something. Tez Johnson's fine, but he's more of a, like, one catch, take it to the house. type of dude. But either way, he still only had one catch where he got lit up. It's just, that Tampa defense is still, you know, I don't trust him. The sooner they get Chris Godwin and Bucky Irvin back, the better. But still, it was a good win for Buffalo. Obviously, you know, you're still second in the division. They're still going to make the playoffs regardless, but I don't know. I'm just saying, pump the brakes, God forbid. But still, great victory. This is the second time, I think, in Allen's career, he's had three passing touchdowns and three rushing touchdowns. But he did also keep the Bucs in the game. That's all I'm saying.
Adam?
Yeah, so he completed 63% of his passes. He averaged 11 yards per attempt. And yeah, you can count the dropped interceptions, but you also have to look at the interceptions that he threw. One of the two was terrible. I'll give you that, CJ. But the other one bounced up into the air and then went into the arms of a Bucs player.
Yeah, it so was bounced into the air because he threw it into a tight window. That was still an ill-advised throw. Was it a wide receiver pick? Yeah, you could argue that. But still, he chucked into double coverage and it got tipped.
Yeah, but it bounced into the air. It's not like it was he threw it right to a defender. So it was one of those picks that's more on the receiver than anything else. You yourself said they don't have receivers.
I obviously did. Nope. Like, yes, agree. You can use the ad hominem all you want. I'm just saying.
No Dalton Kincaid.
You still shouldn't throw it into double coverage.
CJ, we gave you a lot of time. Can I just have my time? My time, and
he is right. He is right, CJ. Let him have his time.
Yeah, sure. Listen, I mean, but why are you just going to sit there and twist words to fit your narrative? I'm not going to allow that.
I'm not twisting words. I'm just saying. Let's point out the interception.
Let's let Adam speak. We're going to let Adam speak.
10.6 yards per attempt on 63% completion percentage, 104.4 passer rating. But when you look at what he's working with, You have James Cook who did absolutely nothing that game. Dalton Kincaid was out. They benched Keon Coleman because the guy has a terrible attitude and probably shouldn't have been picked. Even in the second round, we can see why he fell out of the first. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That team had nothing to throw to, and Allen still threw for three touchdown passes. He rushed for three, and he threw for over 300. Passing yards. He, by definition, did not get lucky. He carried the team to a victory. And it may have looked ugly, but you're going to have to play a little hero ball when you have nothing to work with. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of bad, but there was so much more good. And it may not have been clean, but this is the Josh Allen experience. This is what happens, and this is why Joe Brady needs to be out and Brian Daboll needs to be back in. And somebody needs to let Allen off the leash and do his thing. He's going to throw for a couple of picks, but he's also going to throw for three touchdown passes and rush for three and throw for over 300 yards. This is what he does. This is how you play the game. It's not always going to be perfect. Every quarterback throws picks. If you just play conservative football, when you're in a shootout with another team that's scoring at will on you, you need to be able to let your quarterback, who's perfectly capable of gunslinging it, let him sling it around. And he did that, and he won you the game. They need to do more of that. Joe Brady needs to be out. Get Brian Daboll on the phone right now. That's my take.
Tuck, your thoughts.
First things first, I don't think you can hire a coach that's not available during the season. It has to be during the offseason unless they're already on the staff.
I'm hyperbolizing, though. I'm just hyperbolizing.
Got you. First things first, congratulations to the Buffalo Bills. They were able to get this one out. Josh Allen had six total touchdowns, two interceptions, but six total touchdowns. I will say that game could have been easier for the Bills, but all in all, I think the Bucs are dealing with a lot of injuries. I don't think they can be as good as they could be if they weren't so damn riddled with all the players they're missing, like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving, so on and so forth. And it made it tough for Baker Mayfield to find other people open. I mean, if you just double Amika Ibuka, I mean, it makes it harder. But other than that, that I will say the Bills defense, primarily when it comes to a rushing attack, needs help. Because, my God, there's no reason why Sean Tucker should have over 100 yards rushing. That shouldn't have happened. But Josh Allen, for all his mistakes, was able to gut it out, show his brilliance, and throw three touchdowns and rush for another three touchdowns and miraculously got them the win in the end. So, all in all, congrats to the Buffalo Bills. Congrats to Josh Allen. And back to the drawing board for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought they were going to win this game. I was wrong. And so I'll eat my L this week.
Yeah. You want to touch on anything that CJ and Adam had to say?
No, you guys know how I feel about Josh Allen. I'm where, okay, he does this, but if we compare, like, when it comes to Lamar, he doesn't get the same comparisons that he does. I just want it to be fair. That's all. I've never said Josh Allen isn't a bad quarterback. I think he's a great quarterback, but I think it's just unfair how many things he gets away with. And my second thought was when he threw that interception, I thought CBS is probably going to say Josh Allen threw a punt inside the five of his own or inside the five of the Bills territory. I thought that. And I was like, nah, that's just me hating. But I think he's a great quarterback and obviously a top five quarterback in the game.
Well, this is a problem that I have with the way that Josh Allen has been used, is they kind of use him in the same play style that they try to do with Lamar Jackson, where they kind of have him and Lamar has great legs. So they have him play to his strengths. They have him run a lot. With Josh Allen, he should be slinging it all over the field. That's what he should be doing. And the problem with Lamar is, he was used a little too much to run. And I don't think that up until now that he has been used to throw enough. So good on the Ravens coaching staff for having him throw more. But as it pertains to Allen, it feels like they were trying to have him run too much this year and last year as well, which is why he didn't throw as many picks. But he also was a little less effective in winning games. Like that's just where he's at his best.
So you want him to be a gunslinger?
I think that's when Josh Allen's at his best, yeah. He's going to throw a lot of picks, but that's just – it's part of what he's going to do.
All right.
Also, at what point do we blame Sean McDermott? Because you can talk about Joe Brady all you want, but you guys all know I have not been thrilled with Sean McDermott for years.
If they fall and don't win the division this year, I think that's a great – excuse. It's a great off-ramp for them to actually fire him finally because, you know, Brian Daboll is available and he is in love with Josh Allen. So much so that he wanted to draft Josh Allen's clone, Drake May, and was willing to work with Joe Shane to trade three first-round picks for him to trade up there. So I think he returns and ends up as a head coach.
Interesting take. Interesting. Anything else we want to touch on from this game? All right.
I think we've covered it.
We're going to step aside and jump forward to later tonight, Monday Night Football, a little recap along with week 11, top three, bottom three. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Well, Monday Night Football was a stinker. Cowboys, their offense is good. Raiders, well, they're bad and they're 2-8. That's your Monday Night Football recap. Other than that, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were benched for the opening drive of the game. And, well, it seems that whatever happened is fine. Brian Schottenheimer loves them again. All right. Week 12, top three, bottom three.
Pretty sure it's week 11, but okay.
Week 11, top three, bottom three. First on the top three, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles with a big win against the Lions. And
really just furthering themselves into staying in that top spot in the conference. Granted, yeah, still questions about the offense, but boy, this defense is insane. The D-line is so ferocious. And just the way that they manhandled Jared Goff and the Lions, we talked about it earlier too, but impeccable performance from the Eagles defense. The Broncos, you know, we put the Broncos and the Eagles in such a similar light, and it makes sense, you know, because at the end of the day, as to what Adam had said earlier, the Broncos win games. Bo Nix, maybe he is just a winner after all. Either way, they're at the top of the conference as well. And a massive win against the Chiefs and probably doing everyone a favor and kicking them out of a playoff spot for now. Last team on the top three, the Los Angeles Rams. Boy, what a day for the defense. What a day for the defense. And this was as big of a defensive game for the Rams, especially when you consider the fact that the Seahawks had 15 and a half more minutes of possession time than the Seahawks had 15 and a half more minutes of possession time than the Rams did in this game. And they only let up 19 points. And these are two very good offenses. Obviously hats off to the Seahawks defense for holding the Rams to 21 points, but didn't get the win and forcing Sam Darnold to throw four picks in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the bottom three, anything you guys want to add?
I thought the Rams played well. We already talked about the top three.
That's right. Yeah, that's really right. Yeah. I kind of forgot all about that. Bottom three. Well, we already talked about one of these teams, and we'll just get it out of the way. The Seahawks. Well, Sam Darnold threw four interceptions. And really, when you look at the stats, the team stats, you beat the Rams. But you didn't beat them on the scoreboard. All around, just a bad day for the Seahawks. Mainly Sam Darnold lost you the game.
I still can't believe a field goal almost won that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite all of that, that's unbelievable.
It is. All right. To two teams that we haven't talked about yet today. We'll start with the Chargers. 6 points against the Jaguars. Letting up 35 against the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I almost just knocked over my mic. But like against a team like the Jaguars, that like they are one of the perfect definitions of I don't know what the hell I'm going to get. Trevor Lawrence, and people are on their last nerve about Trevor Lawrence on if he's even a good quarterback. They hang 35 on your head. Unbelievable. Along with that, you know, the Broncos also, well, they're grabbing hold of the AFC West, chokehold of the AFC West, and not letting go. The Bengals. Bengals, last team on the bottom three. And this goes perfectly with some news that broke in between our recording sessions. And it's the fact that CeeDee Lamb is now suspended for a game.
Jamar Chase.
It's late. We get it.
Rewind. Coupled with the fact that Jamar Chase has been suspended for a game for spitting on Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Being appealed. But obviously, another big reason is that you only got 12 points against the Steelers. You lost big against the Steelers. Steelers team that ended up having to go to Mason Rudolph for half the game. Ultimately, it was a couple turnovers on the offensive side of the football that hurt the Bengals at the end of the day. But it's lost to the Steelers. Lost in the Unc Bowl. But yeah, that's really the breaking news from earlier, though, is that Jamar Chase, amongst other players that have been hurt, you know, your Michael Penix being out for the year and Drake London being out this week and for however long, this comes up. This was probably amongst all the other big games, this was the biggest story, considering well, Jamar Chase is our top two receiver in the league, and he's spitting on Jalen Ramsey and now getting suspended for it. And Jalen Ramsey was the one that got kicked out of that game too.
Yeah, Trey Hendrickson, doubtful again on top of that. You lose Cam Taylor-Britt, one of your top corners, for the rest of the year. That team really has nothing going into week 12. That team is just bottomed out. Bare ass. Just nothing. Also, just another thing, the Eagles' right tackle, Lane Johnson.
Liz Frank.
Done for 4 to 6 weeks, which is pretty much at this stage of the season the whole year. So,
yeah.
4 to 6?
Four to six, they said, yeah.
I was just going to say, I want to add one more thing. The Chargers, I'm seeing everybody, like, on Chargers fans and social media blame the injuries for that game. It's like, oh, the offensive line's hurt, to which I say, okay, your offensive line's hurt. Why did your defense give up 35? Those two things can't be true at once here. Like, I don't understand it. And even if your offensive line is hurt, 6 points is all you could manage against the Jacksonville Jaguars? Oh, my God. And then it's like, oh, well, if they were healthy, to which I say, oh, my God, if Justin Herbert, it's if man. If man rises again, guys, you love to see it. There's always an excuse for him. Remember how you were talking about Lamar and Josh Allen, how one side gets excuses, the other side gets chewed out?
Yeah.
Herbert gets excuses, too. It's always if he had better coaching, if there were injuries, if he had better receivers. I'm tired of if. No more ifs for if man.
I think that's fair.
He is such a fraud. It's at the point where we're just – he has the receivers. He has the – I mean, the offensive line's been hurt, but he had it last year. It was healthy. And then he threw, what, 2-3 picks?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just 2, but he might have thrown 3.
I believe.
Either way, yeah, bad game.
It's still bad. Multiple pick game. It's not good.
Yeah.
I think he's still a really great quarterback, but in terms of the actual big games,
he's Walmart brand Josh Allen.
Nah, he's not the runner Josh Allen is. He's not a bruiser.
He's microwaved Jackson Dart leftovers.
Okay.
No, Adam, I cannot let
actually. You want to hear a good comp for him? He's literally from one Chargers QB to another. He's Phillip Rivers.
Dad, regular season,
and if he does make the playoffs, he sure as shit ain't winning.
And Phillip Rivers was a great quarterback.
Yes, that's fair. That is fair. Jackson.
He's literally just a second coming of Phillip Rivers. Ain't gonna win, but he does have a cooler name.
I was gonna say Drake May, but I don't want to disrespect
Drake May like that.
I said I was gonna say microwave Drake May leftovers. You see how I'm comparing the prototype of the quarterback?
We are not draking it today. This is not his day. We're doing this another day.
Well, technically, we are recording on Drake May Monday.
It's a holiday.
Holiday.
This is supposed to be about Justin Herbert, and we're treating this like this is.
yes, you're right. It is about
81 passing yards, and an interception will do that to you.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say is I wonder what the Cincinnati defense said to the offense, because it wasn't their fault that they lost that game.
Everyone probably hit Jamar Chase with the old well after Chase, you know, was screaming, oh, one stop against the Bears. Defense had to say, hey, we did our job for once. How about one score? That would not have helped, but, you know.
I mean, the defense also did give up 32.
No, they didn't give up 32. They gave up
34.
It wasn't just Jamar Chase either.
That's right.
I was just talking about the Jamar Chase clip where he's like, just one effing score like that.
Like there were a few of them who were talking to reporters in that offense following that game where the Bengals came back and then blew it anyways because of their defense
against the Bears. There
were a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chase wasn't Brown the running was back? Yeah, Chase Brown was talking about it too.
Yeah, he was not happy.
And then Jamar Chase doubled down and he said, look, you got to get a stop here. We're busting our ass. I mean,
this is literally what we said at the beginning of the year about the Bengals. Is it not? Is this literally what we said would happen at the beginning of the year? About how they'd be dropping 45 every game, but the defense gives up 50, for lack of a better term?
They should all request trades.
No, they can't. Chase can't, Higgins can't, and Burrow can't.
Well, they can. The cheap-ass owners won't do anything.
We just paid each
Who's one of we? Them. You're not on the bench.
If I'm the owner, I can't get rid of them. I just paid them. I just paid them because of Burrow.
Think of the haul you can get. If you give up your superstar receiver, you can get four first-round picks, and those picks could be anything, even a superstar receiver.
You're not getting two first rounds for Jamar Chase, especially right now.
Oh, yes, you are.
Not right now. Are you right now? No. In the offseason, we can come to this, but not right now.
Well, of course not. You can't trade anyone.
You can't.
No shit.
You can't do that.
I'm just talking in general. If they had the option to, I don't think anyone would bite on that right now, considering the news.
There's a couple receivers who are really frustrated. Have you heard the news about Justin Jefferson?
Yes, but that's just my quarterback.
I mean, you could just look at him on the sideline and know that he's frustrated.
I remember a time when a Vikings receiver got traded back in the late 2000s to another team, and it worked out pretty well for the team.
Well, he went to a different team first and then came to that other team.
Let's get this thing started. Let's bring him to the Raiders.
I'm also thinking of another former Vikings receiver that went to two other places before they got to a specific place as well.
So it's destiny, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I'm referring to Stephon Diggs.
Yes, I could piece that together.
Yes.
Hey man, they always have that one spot that they get traded to where they're like, man, this sucks. And then suddenly they have a fetish for New England.
Yeah. Super Bowls? I have a kink for Super Bowls all of a sudden.
Ooh. They yearn for it.
They yearn for a ring.
They yearn for the mines.
How did we get here? How did we get here?
I think we should end the show now.
God forbid we just have a little fun, but okay. It's late.
Yeah. All right. That's all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Anything else that we want to touch on? No? Good. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. And be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, from all four of us in the studio today, we say so long, and we'll see you on Friday. Over.
Avoid Denver.